Well, small talk, it really, it's about connecting with somebody and having a conversation. Small talk can lead to significant talk, but significant talk tends not to happen unless it starts with a simple conversation.
Absolutely. Do you consider that almost breaking the ice?
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. It's breaking the ice, making that first connection. You know, the goal should be to try to find overlapping areas of interest. And when you find overlapping areas of interest, now all of a sudden, you've got a discussion going on. And that's the key with small talk, is to find those overlapping areas of interest.
Indeed. One of my good friends who actually lives in Fort Worth, Texas, not far from you, has this gift. He can strike up a conversation with anybody. And what he does is he notices things about other people. And he says, hey, I see you have this pin on or something. And it's boom. Is that excellent here that you want to connect right away?
Yeah. If you notice something about what someone is wearing, obviously appropriately, like a pin, bringing that up is a great idea. Or, if you're wearing a badge and you have some experience in that business or that profession, then it's a great way to start a conversation. I worked my way through a lot of college working at a paint shop. So whenever I meet a painter, I was like, oh, hey, I started working in the paint industry. I can't use a tape measure, but I can paint a house. It's a great way to start a conversation.
Why are you discussing this? What do you want people to be able to use the art of conversation or the beginning of a conversation to their benefit, really?
I run the world's largest networking organization. And so people I have found really don't understand social capital, emotional intelligence. We're not taught business networking in colleges and universities. So simple techniques like this are really important. Now, when you add to the fact that we have been basically isolated for the last 2 years, it was really interesting. My assistant said, I just had to remember what it was like to start up a conversation with somebody because everything has been done by Zoom with a very particular agenda. And now I'm, meeting people in person and it's like you're starting all over again.
Yeah, absolutely. And every situation, I'm guessing, Ivan, is different. Yeah, when you meet somebody or when you have the uncomfortable moments.
Yeah, every situation is different because people are different. They have different interests, different focus. There was an article in Psychology Today recently, and the author said that, small talk is, I love this turn of a phrase, it's great. Small talk is that uniquely horrifying mode of torment. And that's really true for a lot of people. They're tormented by it, but I don't know why. It really is pretty easy, as long as you don't step on landmines. Politics, religion, these kinds of things can really step, you can step on a landmine and ruin any potential for building a relationship.
Please expound on that if you can. Why do people quote hate small talk? Is it because it's stupid, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, it can be boring, frankly. And so one of the things that I tell people is, act more interested than interesting, which means ask questions, right? If you act interested, it's amazing how you can then become interested in that person. That small talk is all about finding, like I said, overlapping areas of interest. Sometimes it has a big impact. Let me give you an example. I was at a business event. There was a particular person I really wanted to spend the evening talking to him at this dinner. And we sat down and how sometimes when you sit down, you go, oh, we got to move over one. And so there was a shift. And I ended up sitting across from his college age daughter. And I'm like, oh God, all right. I wanted to talk business with this guy. I'm across from his college-age daughter. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm supposed to be the expert on networking. Buck up, buttercup. Have a conversation with this young lady. And so I just did what I tell people to do. A good networker has two ears and one mouth and should use them both proportionately. So I just started asking her questions and she opened up and she told me all about her college career and what she was going to do. And it ended up being an interesting evening for me. Not quite the evening I expected, but then here's what happened afterward. As we're walking out of the restaurant, the person I wanted to make a connection with leaned over to me and said, thank you. And I said, for what? He said, no one, this has been a 3 or 4 day event. No one has spent any time or given my daughter any attention. I just want to tell you how much I appreciate the connection that you made with her. And then the next day we had a great conversation, him and I. I'm not sure we would have had the same kind of connection, him and I, had I not talked to his daughter.
Yeah, what a great story. What a great story indeed. You just never know who you're talking with, do you?
You don't. And you don't know what impact it can have on other people, that one conversation. I mean, I kind of knew who she was, but it never entered my mind that by talking to her, the person that I really wanted to talk to would want to talk to me because I made that connection with her.
Dr. Ivan Meisner is author of Work Your Network with the Four Seasons, founder and chief visionary officer of BNI, the world's largest business networking organization. I'm Brett Recamp, and this is Beyond the Headlines. I have been in meetings, Ivan, where I wanted to get down to business, and the person across from me, who is my superior, or awful superior, right, wasn't in any hurry. And I was too immature to recognize the fact that I needed to just wait in the shallow waters for a while until it was time to do that. Do you learn from experience? Do you grow and mature and realize that it's okay to hang out in the small talk world for a while, and it just helps make everything a little bit smoother later on?
It does. You know, in American culture, it's a little more commonplace to, sit down and it's basically a full frontal assault. You know, you just go straight to talking about business. But in other cultures, that's just not the case. A number of Asian cultures like Japan or Spain, Portugal, you don't just launch right in. It's about breaking bread together. And talking about family. Family is always a really good conversation piece. And, you know, with little kids, it's great to talk about little kids, even teenagers. You know, you can commiserate with the person that you're talking to. He's like, oh, you have two teenage children. I have one. And you just start talking about that. I remember telling one person, and this is before we ever got to business, I said, oh, yeah, teenagers, I think aliens come down and take your teenagers at about 12 and they replace them with somebody else. And he's like, oh, my gosh, that's so true. I said, my eldest is 17 now. This is not a joke, by the way. She said to me once, Dad, you're not only not with it, you're not even near it. I'm like, it's okay. You still have to be home at 10 o'clock. Now, that little humor about family, you know, kind of broke the ice in making a connection with the person. And we got to business.
You're so right on, Ivan, about that. All anyone has to do is mention my son, who's 15, and I light up. And they know that because perhaps they're listening, like you talked about with the two ears and just the one mouth. How can paying attention and being a more selfless type of small talker help you just in your regular life with your family and at the workplace? Nothing serious, but just to get along better.
It's those overlapping areas of interest. I'll give you an example. There's a technique that I use when I have people do one-to-ones together and they're talking about each other. And it's called the GAINS exchange, and it stands for goals, accomplishments, interests, networks, and skills. Goals, accomplishments, interests, networks, and skills. And I learned that if you can find those overlapping areas of interest, you make a connection. And so I was testing this out when I was about to do a book years ago. And I had two guys, one was an architect, one was an attorney. And they said, we don't want to do this. And I said, why? And one of them said, because it's weenie. I'm like, it's weenie? What do you mean it's weenie? It's silly. We don't want to do it. I'm like, well, just do it. And if you don't like it, I'm going to give you a review. And you can put in the review. It was, in fact, weenie, and we shouldn't have done it. Well, here's the funny part of this. They got to interests, goals, accomplishment. They got to interest, and they both found out they were soccer coaches, their son's soccer team.
Bingo.
That's it. Forget it. Nothing else was discussed for the rest of the session. It was all about soccer, and they agreed to go and scout for each other, and they shared techniques and coaching, and they apologized for not finishing the thing. And I said, no, you don't need to apologize. That's purpose of the small talk, is to find those overlapping areas of interest.
Yeah, yeah. Ivan Meisner.com, MISNER.com, and also BNI.com. You're a visionary officer, a founder, a businessman, and a networker, along with an author. What do you do at BNI, and what's the purpose there?
Well, BNI is a business and professional referral organization. So we allow one person per profession to join one of our chapters, and the members get together every week, and pass each other referrals. Last year, we passed 12 million referrals. This is during COVID. We passed 12 million referrals, and we generated 18 billion, that's billion with a B, 18 billion US dollars worth of business for our members all around the world. We have 10,800 groups that meet every week.
That's impressive. Then you know that business is all about relationships, right? Yep. And in order to establish a relationship, you're saying we need some commonalities. And in order to figure out what those are, you got to start small. Is that it?
You do have to start small. It becomes with, I talk about it as the VCP process, visibility, credibility, profitability. First, you have to be visible. People have to know who you are. But then you have to establish credibility. And you get to credibility by having deeper conversations that eventually lead to talking about the business that you do. And then and only then can you get the profitability where people are like, okay, we have a great relationship. I trust you. I'm going to refer my clients, my friends, my associates to you. And it all begins with that simple, you know, petty, almost petty sounding conversation about family or restaurants or television shows. I find television shows are a great way to strike up conversations with people. I met someone from New Zealand the other day, and I said, oh, New Zealand, I've just been watching the Broken Wood Mysteries on Amazon Prime. And he's like, are you kidding? You know, that's based in New Zealand. And then we, you know, we strike up this conversation because I talk about a TV series based out of New Zealand.
Yes. Okay. So these are some good examples, Ivan. How about some missteps? What if you get a little bit too aggressive early in a relationship, or you're networking, or you're just saying hello to somebody? Can you be overzealous? Can that get you in trouble? What are some examples of bad small talk, if you will?
Yeah, well, I think you called it where you were talking about going straight to trying to jump over visibility and credibility and getting right to let's talk about business. I call that in one of my books, I call that premature solicitation, which you don't want to say fast three times. It'll get you in trouble.
Fair enough.
When you're just going straight, I think most people use networking as a face-to-face cold calling opportunity. Hi, my name's so-and-so, let's do business, or maybe you can refer me. And instead, it's about making that connection with people. You know the old saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know? I don't think it's either. I don't think it's what you know or who you know. It's how well you know each other that really counts. I mean, I have some amazing contacts in my database, amazing contacts, but that doesn't really much matter. What matters is if I picked up the phone and I called one of them, would they take my call? And if they took my call and I asked them for a favor, would they be willing to do the favor? So it's not just who you know, it's how well you know them. And that all begins with the simple conversations that you have, the small talk, what some people might call the elevator pitch, which, by the way, you never do in an elevator. It's meant to be a short description of who you are and what you do.
Those are just dynamite words right there. How well do you really know that person? Do you attempt to cultivate your relationships then with the people that you do know and try to deepen them?
Yeah, it's about touch points. You know, how long are you staying connected to the person that you want to build and maintain a relationship with? Benign neglect in a relationship will gradually dissipate the connection that you have. You know, we all have seen that. There are people that I knew in high school, people that I knew in college. They were friends. I liked them. And yet through benign neglect over the years, I've lost touch with those people. Things like Facebook and other social media platforms have actually helped many people stay connected, at least in a, not quite as the same as meeting, but as we all travel and we're not, you know, near one another anymore, it's still a way of staying connected. I think it's an advantage that young people have today that I didn't have when I was in school. I mean, I did my doctoral degree with one of the deputy directors of the Federal Aviation Administration. Now, that was back in the 80s and early 90s. You can't exactly pick up the phone and call a deputy director of the Federal Aviation Administration. But if I'd have stayed in touch with him through something like Facebook, we'd be friends still to this day. That would be amazing.
That's a great example. Social media, completely different. You can find old lost relatives that you did not know you had. Do you ever find that social media is an excuse, though? Maybe I'm following you and your family on Facebook. Why would I need to speak with you? I can see what you're doing.
Yeah, I find it as an excuse for maybe something slightly different than what you meant. Listen, I love LinkedIn. I'm active on LinkedIn. I'm active on most of the social media platforms, but I do find LinkedIn to be abused with connections. People will connect with me and then they go right to premature solicitation. They are trying to sell to me immediately. And it's like, man, I don't even know you. Or I knew you 25 years ago. I'm not going to refer you. I don't know you.
That's great. As I click on my LinkedIn and pull up my profile and I'm probably going to send a hello to you, but I don't want anything from you other than your knowledge, you know, and your words, talking to our listeners, as we talked with Dr. Ivan Meisner, a PhD in organizational behavior, also a New York Times bestseller. Really great stuff on something that I think society maybe has forgotten about. Do you find that this is an art, this is a skill that people are not making sure that they're up on when it comes to just basic talk and receiving information and being a little more selfless.
Yeah, I think you're right on all points. You know, when I was young, we weren't taught networking in colleges, universities. They're not teaching it now. And so many people, I think, give millennials and the centennials or Gen Zs a bad rap saying that they don't know how to network. Well, you know what? I didn't know how to network either. I method acted my way through the process. And I think it's because we don't teach it in school, which drives me nuts because I've been a professor for many years. But it's just considered a soft science, and so it's not taught. And that's why, you know, people who do sales, people who train in networking, try to teach people how to have these kinds of conversations. It's invaluable. You might get hired because of your IQ, but you're going to get promoted because of your EQ, your emotional quotient, your ability to interact effectively with other people.
These are things that we can remember. That's great. That's great. This is stuff that I think a lot of people can use. Is that your main message? What is your main message? Just to get back down to basics and communicate with people and let your guard down.
Yeah, listen, networking is more about farming than it is about hunting. It's about cultivating relationships with people. It's about having those meaningful conversations that start with small topics, that small talk. But that's what leads to finding out that you both play soccer or that you both love a mystery a television show or that you both play chess or whatever it is that you both have this overlapping interest on. That's what leads you into deeper conversations. Because if your network is a mile wide, but only an inch deep, it will never be powerful. It needs to be both wide and in some places deep, meaning you need to have some deep relationships in order to build a powerful personal network.